The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, August 20th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. You know when you're hosting two shows and then you didn't pay attention to the time and realize that one show is overing and the other one is transitioning in or phasing in? That's what happened today, because I thought I could have had another 4 minutes to conclude the other show. But today is Tuesday, so we have Uncle Sarah, Dr. Cleveland Inius III, who's going to be in-house. He is downstairs right now, so I'm having the producer go downstairs and have him ushered up. Today's conversation is about heaven. Yes, heaven. Heaven's a wonderful place. And I want to see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place, right? And Uncle Sarah, Dr. Cleveland Inius III, has a different viewpoint on such, right? He has, of course, you know, he is the pastor of the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, which has a black African is a better word because it's not necessarily black, an African viewpoint of Christianity. But let me indicate to the producer. Remember that song thing I sent? That's a good time to start playing it as Uncle takes out his computer. He's upstairs now. So he can listen to the theme that we're doing. I sent him some notes earlier on what we're going to be having our conversation about. But I wanted to play this, and then there's something else I wanted to play afterwards. So as soon as the producer is able to cue both of them up.
Salty, do you know anything about heaven?
Sure. I know that Jesus is there, and if he's there, it must be a wonderful place.
Do you have a song about it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Here, turn my pages to Psalm number 53.
Not so fast, it tickles.
Now one more page. There. Here we go.
Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face, cause heaven is a wonderful place.
I want to go there.
Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face, cause heaven is a wonderful place.
I want to go there.
Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face, cause heaven is a wonderful place.
I want to go there.
Heaven is a wonderful place.
And heaven is a wonderful place, definitely, Uncle Sarah. And thank you very much for joining us. I have another clip I want you to hear also. Mm-hmm. But this song reminded me of when I was younger.
Yeah.
When I was younger and I attended a Baptist church, Transfiguration Baptist Church on VC and Market Street.
Mm-hmm.
This song, our children's choir used to sing.
Okay.
This song I was brought up on.
Mm.
It's a praise and worship song where for children we said, heaven is a wonderful place.
Catchy. Very catchy.
Because Jesus is there and I want to go there. I grew up that this is where I'm. Right? And I know I've had this conversation with you where you saying that heaven is going to be on earth and not necessarily a place for me to venture on. And I say, I think you're wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
Because all my life they've been teaching me that after I live a good life, I become saved, seek salvation, there's going to be a reckoning, there's going to be a judgment day, and I will be ushered into heaven. I solely believe that. That's what I believe. I know I'm not sure where you're going.
Right.
But I want to remind you at this present time before you start.
Hell is hot.
Hell hot.
Yeah, I know.
Hell hot. Right? And I'm going to give you leeway, you know, because you can get judged on your own.
Right.
But I introduce yourself because you've been on break, and a number of people have been texting me where is on Kusara.
Where he was, right?
Yeah, where is Dr. Cleveland Inez III?
Well, and I'm very...
are we having our Tuesday shows? I mean, he's back, so we're doing that. Just give everyone where you've been, where you've been, and then we start our program.
Sure. So my name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Inez III, also known as Kahun on Kusara. I'm the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah here in the Bahamas. And for the past few weeks, I've been on somewhat of a pilgrimage. You know, I didn't realize that that's what the trip would become. But I had a family reunion. My grandmother is from Savannah, Georgia. And so we had a family reunion there. And then I also have family up in Ohio. So I was dealing with family, but we had an opportunity to go and see some land that my great-great-grandfather had acquired many years ago. And anyway, it's family land. So I was able to see the gravestones of my great-great-grandparents, my great-grandparents, and other family members that I've always heard about. My grandmother would tell me about this land in Liberty County. So it's outside of Savannah, but it's in Liberty County. And interestingly enough, my great-grandfather, Simon Finnemore Frazier, he was a medical doctor. But before he went to medical school, he was actually a pastor. And so the church that he was a lay minister at, Presbyterian Church, I think it is. Pretty sure it's Presbyterian. That church is still standing. And I was able to take pictures in front of it. Apparently, the church still operates, but there was no one there to let us in the church on that day. But I was very happy to at least be able to go to that church, be able to go to the land where his office was as a medical doctor. He had a house/office on some land in Liberty County. And so, long story short, I rekindled some family bonds, and I learned a lot of history about another side of my family. I was very sorry that I missed my other family reunion, the Hannah Hasty Tanks, because they were happening literally at the same time. And I had planned to do this particular trip, you know, a while back. So I look forward to being at the next Hannah Hasty Tanks reunion. I heard everything went well and things look beautiful online. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing. With regard to the song and the topic, it's reality of heaven. The Messiah, this African Messiah, this Yahshua Christ, who many today refer to as Jesus Christ, he taught his disciples one way to pray. All right, they have what's called the Our Father prayer. In that prayer, he says that thy kingdom come on earth, right? And he talks about this reality of creating a heaven on earth.
Is thy kingdom come?
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
Mm-hmm. So the way heaven comes to earth is when the will of the Most High is done on earth. Heaven is not merely a place. It is a place that has rules. It is a place that has laws. So in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 23, the Messiah says, many people can say that they knew me or that they worshiped me, right? I'm paraphrasing, right? And did great miracles in my name, prophesied in my name. And he said, and I will say, I never knew you because you were lawbreakers, right? You lived a life full of iniquities, right? And so what the reality of heaven is, of course, the word heaven is a word that we see in the New Testament, which is the Greek word Uranos. And this word Uranos or Orion is speaking about a specific star constellation that if you do research on it, you realize that the Africans, they built this heaven on earth whereby the pyramids of Giza, those three major pyramids at Giza, align with the actual belt of Orion, whereby thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And the will of the Most High was done in these ancient societies where you had pyramids, where you had societies that had already existed based on actual doctrines that we in the Holy Coptic Church refer to as the original books of the Bible. When we talk about the original books of the Bible, we're talking about the fact that in each generation, information was passed on by way of our Coptic saints, by way of our guardian angelic hosts, through writings that may have been on stone. You see this in the book of Job, chapter 19, around verses 19 to 21 or 20 to 23. You'll see where it talks about writing this story in stone, engraving this story in stone, right? The word Bible itself is the word biblion, which means, which is talking about the actual paper that certain portions of this book would have been written on. We also wrote on leather. You have a metallurgist by the name of Robert Feather. He talked about a copper scroll, all right? And this copper scroll, which is a part of the Qumran tablets, all right, what they call the Dead Sea Scrolls. In these copper scrolls, you see the name Akhenaten, Akhenaten. This first, they would refer to him as the first monotheist, all right, or the first person who would have brought a people to the worship of one God, all right? Of course, we know he would have not used the word monos or theos because these are Greco-Roman terms. Instead, he used the word aten or aton, whereby he was an atonist, at-onest, at one moment, atonement. He was bringing a doctrine that had already existed way before him, which would have been given to our people, the three groups of 12 royal tribes of Ishmael, Israel, and Midiani, or those three groups of people coming out of Abraham and his three wives, all right? He would have been taught information coming from one called Asaru, this original sacrificial shepherd who was mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, and Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, where it talks about this lamb who had been slaughtered from the foundation of the earth, right? This would have been before the Messiah, Yeshua Christ, who would have been 2,000 to 3,500 years ago. He would have been of the bloodline of Asaru, right? And so when we're talking about heaven, we're talking about it from an African perspective. We understand that the Messiah in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 21, is saying to us that the kingdom of God is within, all right? The kingdom of God being within doesn't mean that there is not a place on high. The place on high is referenced in the book of Job, chapter 16, verse 19, where it talks about my records are on high. This is where these original books of the Bible come from. Some people call it the Akasha records or the mother scripture. All right. So the mother scripture is hundreds of thousands of pages. We couldn't even put it in book form. We couldn't even carry it if we wanted to. Right. This is made reference to in the book, the very final chapter of John, where it talks about the fact that if we were to put these books in writing, you know, they would not even fit in a book, right? So heaven is something that we, as people of the planet, we understood that There are celestial realms, what we call planets, what we call galaxies, universe, etc. But we also understood that we on this planet had to create an abode where we could reach our fullest potential. That abode where we could reach our fullest potential, that became a heaven or a haven for us, whereby when we wanted to reach our fullest potential, and learn about who we were, we would go to these specific sites on the planet, such as what they call the Giza Plateau, and other places on the planet. They talk about Sumeria or Sumer. They talk about I've visited the pyramids in Central America. I've visited the pyramids in Mexico, right? Quetzalcoatl, they talk about this feathered serpent. We had different schools around the planet that assisted us who wanted to know more, all right? I say that because there's a particular family that keeps being talking about, these chosen people. They're mentioned in the book of Isaiah, chapter 19, verses 23 to 25, where it talks about Egypt, Assyria, and Israel, and talks about Israel being the third. But this particular gene, it comes from 14 angelic families that came to this planet. And coming to this planet, they began to establish certain cities. One of them called, some people refer to as Al-Kebulan, right? And so we recognize that the Greco-Romans, they too had their interpretation of heaven. They too looked at, we just had the Olympics. We just had this big controversy during the opening ceremonies of the Olympics of Dionysus, this wine bibble. And the fact that these Olympians were the gods of the Greco-Romans who lived in these mountains on Mount Olympus, et cetera, et cetera. So I just want to be clear that the song that you learned in church and that you were introduced to, it's not to say that the song is wrong as much as we need to now as African people look at that song in a perspective that allows for us to manifest it. We can't sit here and just wait to go somewhere. This idea of the rapture that they've been teaching us about is something that was given to us, but we don't find it in scripture. It's not there.
Interesting. So you're saying that heaven is something that has been interpreted, and it's been interpreted differently, and that the interpretation that I have, that I'm being, I would be transcended to another place, taken up in a twinkling of an eye, is not necessarily right, not necessarily wrong, but it's an interpretation, and yeah. People have different interpretation?
Definitely.
My Lord said, in my Father's house has many mansions.
Right.
And if it was not so, I was going to tell you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So
right.
I'm going someplace. But I have another clip there, producer, mm-hmm. I want you to respond to. And I'm going to have producer Kermit cue that clip up
mm-hmm.
And have you respond to that. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it sounds like we need to either create a heaven on earth here, or is this heaven on earth is a preparation to go someplace else? And I want to know, am I going someplace else?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm living a good life.
Right.
And I want to know if I'm going to get wings or not. you get that thing yet, Kermit?
The rapture doctrine. John Nelson Darby. He added that to the Bible in 1827. That's not too long ago. I mean, that's literally just a couple hundred years ago. But it was a cliff note originally. There is no rapture. If you've been sitting around kicking your feet up, watching the world burn, thinking, oh, the infidels will be burning in this unlimited eternal fire. You know how many Christians come to me and tell me, I'm doing this just in case. They doing it just in case. It sounds like a bunch of lazy people to me. They don't want to do the research to figure out what the hell really happened so they can figure out what they should be doing. The mission is to bring heaven to earth. You missed that message, didn't you? The mission is to do greater things than he. You missed that message, didn't you? You're supposed to even excel and exceed far past what Yeshua's achievements were on this planet, not in any kind of magical heaven, right here on this physical plane of existence. The rapture doctrine. John.
And that's Billy Carson there. And Billy Carson's have a movement. A number of New Age people claim to be woke, is saying that Billy Carson is a prophet. And that he's enlightening us. And I have some issues with Billy Carson, right? Because hell could be hot, and I think Billy Carson might be there. But my my thing is that when I analyze Billy Carson and his doctrine,
mm-hmm.
when I analyze the books of the Holy Coptic Church and their doctrine, when I analyze the Africans in general and their doctrine, when I talk about the people who speak about Sumeria and all these other texts, and these people in India and Palestine, and they all seem to be like a New Age type religion, where they're questioning this Holy Bible, our Holy Bible, right? To say there's an alternative way. Because Billy Carson said there's no hell.
Mm.
Is there a hell? Yes. Because if there's a hell, there got to be a heaven. If there's a heaven, there got to be hell, right? And I want to know, right? Save, right? And whether it be Jesus or Yeshua, whoever name you choose to accept, if I accept him as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? Do I ascend? Is there a rapture? Do I leave this place and go to heaven and dwell with him for eternity? Or is there a new Jerusalem coming to land here on earth and I live here on earth? Or is there a this idea that heaven is a concept of thought and living? And then if I live a life which is dictated to by Jesus Yeshua, I am now in heaven. What is it? What is the truth?
So let's answer the first question first, right? You ask, is hell a real place? Yes. Hell is very real, especially when you take the time to look up what the word hell means. Hell is really an abbreviation of Hellenism, all right, which is Greek culture, right? This Greco, or I'm saying Greco-Roman because the Greeks and the Romans are really the same people. The Romans came about 300 years after the Greeks, but they're really the same people, right? And what their doctrine of manifest destiny, which it ultimately became manifest destiny. Manifest destiny is basically what? Neri, if you have some resources that you don't know what to do with, then, you know, I need to come and take them from you because you are not capable of using those resources. And so once I take your resources and basically colonize you, I'm doing this in the name of God, right? This is the Hellenistic doctrine. This is what Alexander the Greek, who they call Greek, this is what he and those who came after him, such as Ptolemy Soter, who actually came into what they call Egypt. In the book of Isaiah 19, it's talking about this Ptolemy Soter, who they call their version of a savior, right? Their version of somebody who would help them to get the resources that they needed to build Greece, to build Rome. Anywhere that they went to, they brought hell to the indigenous people. The very symbol that they utilized that we're calling a Christian cross today is really just a sword stuck in the ground. If you have the ability to imagine a sword stuck in the ground, it looks like a cross. And this is what they would do when they came into a land that they colonized and they wanted to say that this land belonged to the king or this land belonged to the queen, etc. They would stick their flag or stick their sword in the ground. When they did that, what they were also doing was demonizing the doctrines and demonizing the cultures and demonizing the languages and demonizing the education and the reality of the indigenous people and saying to those people, your ways are pagan, and if you want to be saved, in other words, if you don't want to die right now, you're going to have to follow what we're saying. And once you begin to follow what we're saying, then you can have salvation. That was their salvation. The reality is, when they brought their salvation, they were bringing, as the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, mentions that the God of this world is Satan. All right, the God of this world is Satan. These Hellenistic Greco-Roman doctrines that we have been feeding on for generation after generation, it teaches us to be less than. It teaches us to have self-doubt. It teaches us that we are less than to the point where we hate ourselves. We hate our black skin. We hate our beautiful noses. We hate our beautiful lips. We hate anything related to our power, to our strength. Right? When we look at, for example, what happened during the 1800s, where you had the Haitian Revolution, where you had emancipation, anything that gave us power was made illegal. All right? Anything that said to us that we were divine was looked at as pagan. The minute you don't see yourself as divine and the minute you start to worship other than self and kind, you are now in hell. When it talks about the eternal fires of hell, the word for poor is the word fire. Ur, this word Ur, Por. You hear it when you say the word Por. Ur, or fire, represents the fact that we as a people are constantly seeking that which we will never receive. Generation after generation, your mummy, or your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents are all seeking something that they will never receive, and we're always in debt. We're always in a situation where we're being misinformed. We're always in a situation where we're behind the new technology. We're always trying to catch up. We're always trying to get off of a blacklist. Listen to what they use, the blacklist. We're always trying to find a way to be in the good graces of the dominant culture, right? While we look down on our true religious identity, while we look down on our African continent. We just saw it in the Olympics where when Sudan almost beat, South Sudan almost beat the United States. And some of the NBA players was making fun of LeBron and them, saying, "Man, you almost let these little Africans beat y'all," until they had to be educated that, no, man, these fellas been in the NBA. You know, Manu Bol and other players coming from these tribes that are the oldest people on the planet. Even though y'all saying that they're the youngest country in the world, these the oldest people on the planet. But because we have been miseducated, we now suffer hell. Hell is not what they've told us in terms of you're going to go down into some pit into the earth and burn forever and ever. If you could burn, that means you're still alive because you still have nerves, you still have a physical body. We're talking about the various desires. The book of John chapter 8 verse 44 talks about this devil whose lust and desires we seek after. And because we seek after the lust and the desires of this devil, we now suffer in hell. So hell is very real. We're in it.
So what about this? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with a trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be forever with the Lord. That means they're going to heaven. I can be floating, and what you're saying is completely contrary to that. Because that right there is scripture. It's saying there's going to be a rapture. I can be floating, and the dead in Christ should rise first. And those people like me who could be alive, because, you know, we're going to heaven. And you saying the hell and the heaven is different. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to say, or again, I'm trying to remind you that hell is hot and I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to say, how can you contradict that?
So if we slow down, which we don't have time to do here in this session today, and looked at the language, you would see that trumpet that they're making reference to is really called a shofar. It's an actual ram's horn. All right, and the only ram that you can get this ram's horn from is an African goat or animal that actually grows this particular type of horn. So this animal that grows this horn that you're supposed to actually be listening for is an African or a Nubian goat that allows for us to have this trumpet, right? The trumpet is blown. It's blown every year when we have the fasting days of atonement, all right? The Jebusite Jews refer to it as Yom Kippur, but we as true Christians, we actually blow this shofaru, and it is to signify that once again, the original books of the Bible and the true religious identity of these three groups of 12 royal tribes are actually back in place. When this happens, tension that is taking place, it is a mental, it is a consciousness that we're ascending to. All right. If we wanted to be very clear about, you know, this whole idea of what a rapture is, right? This rapture, and I think we went over it before on this show, this rapture already happened in the book of Matthew.
The rapture can't happen because I'm still here.
Well, let's read it. And you tell me if what you're reading, was Jesus already crucified? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. So what happened after Jesus was crucified?
They had thunder and lightning, some kind of claws. So
let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 27, verse 52.
The dead came out of their tombs, whatever.
And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. It's Matthew 27, 52, and I'm moving into 53, right? All right, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves, and his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That already happened. That has happened already.
What?
That has already happened. According to this, according to Matthew chapter 27, verse 52 and 53. So what we now are preparing for...
Is a second rapture?
Well, it's an awakening, all right? The reality of the situation is now that we, if we go to Revelation, see, we want to know what's going to happen. What you read from in terms of being caught up, was that in the book of Revelation? No. It wasn't in the book of Revelation. But if I go to the book of Revelation, and if I go down to Revelation chapter 7, and we talk about these 12 tribes, and they talk about the 144,000, which is a whole nother show. It's talking about really the experiences, the 144,000 genetic experiences that are going to be had by the 10,000 saints mentioned in the book of Jude, chapter 1:14. Jude is only one chapter, but the 14th verse of Jude. But in Revelation chapter 7, it talks about this great multitude, right? Revelation 7 and 9, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. In this instance, you're talking about a group of people who know their identity. How do you know they know their identity? Because they're coming together in nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. These are people who have a understanding of their tribal or nationality. They understand the tongues. They understand the kindreds. Because when you look up these words, the word for word tribe, right? The word is Phule. They actually have a tribe called the Phule tribe, right? And this is in the Greek. So it's talking about, again, those original three groups of 12 royal tribes that must now come together and build heaven on earth. And in reality, remove the Greco-Roman teachings so that we are no longer in hell again.
Do you believe in the second coming? Because my Lord said he's coming back. And if he's coming back, the dead in Christ will rise first. Mm-hmm. That means there got to be a second resurrection.
Well, they refer to it as a second coming, but if you go to the book of Revelation chapter 8, right, it talks about, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, all right? That half an hour was from 1970 to the year 2000, and from the year 2000 into the year 2030, would represent a second half hour or a second coming or a second reawakening. And so far as this awakening happens perpetually, it's not something that only happened once or happened twice. It happens perpetually. And we as a people have to now be able to recognize prophecy so that we understand what it is that we're supposed to expect. In the clip that you played with Billy Carson, he made reference to the fact that we're supposed to be doing greater things. The book of John 14 and 12 talks about the Messiah and the fact that he said, you got to do greater. You got to do what I did and do even greater things. Right. The reality is that we are, as a people, in a hypnotic trance. All right. This is mentioned in the book of Isaiah chapter 29. Verses 9 and 10, where it talks about we're in this trance of deep sleep. And until we wake up out of this deep sleep and recognize that we do have the power to once again align with this Christ or Christ consciousness, right? It says in Isaiah chapter 29, I'll just go to verse 10 for the sake of time. And for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, and the prophets and your rulers, the seers, he hath covered. So even the people who are standing before us saying that they talk to God, saying that they have been ordained, saying that they have been anointed, it's saying even them asleep. And the reality is that this Christ or Christ consciousness is now upon us. It's moving through those who have the ability to hear, the ability to see. It says, he who have eyes to see, who have ears to hear, let them. They are the ones who are going to actually understand what's taking place, as opposed to just waiting for someone to come out of the sky. I want to be clear about that too. If we go to the book of Acts, where it mentions this Messiah and the fact that they say he'll be coming back out of the sky, right? This is where people are. But when you actually slow down and read what is being said about this Messiah coming back, right? They call it the ascension in the book of Acts, right? Verse 6 of Acts 1 says, and they therefore were come together. They asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be the witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto all the uttermost parts of the world. The reality of this quote is that the Messiah just told his disciples in Matthew 10 and 5, don't go to the Samaritans. This is another Messiah speaking. This is not the African Messiah. And that's why we have to keep making it very plain about the fact that we have an African Messiah, because the Greco-Romans also have a Messiah, what they call a Christ.
The book of, you're trying to say this mix up? It's two different stories.
In the book, yes, in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 41, it says, we have found the Messiah who's being interpreted the Christ. Someone was interpreting the real and living African Messiah as Christ. We know that this has to be the Christ, the Greco-Roman Christ, because he's telling his disciples, go into Samaria. But if we go back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, the real and living Messiah, Yahshua Koresh, he's telling his disciples, do not go into Samaria. Do not go into the Gentiles. Matthew 10 and 5, these 12, Jesus or Yahshua sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not. So how is this Messiah who supposedly ascended and is supposedly going to come back out of the sky, he's telling his disciples at the time that we're going to come back, give you power. The Holy Ghost is going to come and give you power to go into Samaria. And this is telling the disciples who walked with this African Messiah, do not go into Samaria. Do not go into the countries of the Gentiles. And these Gentiles are the countries of the city-states that are all through the New Testament. Your Thessalonians and your Ephesians and your countries that are all inside these Greco-Roman city-states. The Messiah told his disciples, do not go into these cities.
Let's take a break right here, because Now I need to find out who these Gentiles are, mm-hmm. where these Gentiles live.
Sure.
Kermit, let's go into the break right now.
Wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face, cause heaven is a wonderful place.
I want to go there.
Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face, cause heaven is a wonderful place.
Wait, why you look so mashed up? Like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he send me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday in Grand Bahamian. Every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Salty, do you know...
Turn my pages to Psalm number 53.
Wonderful place filled with glory and grace.
And I want to see my Savior's face. Seeing the Savior's face is a big deal for me. And I'm listening to the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, right? And I'm listening, I even accept the term that Yeshua is the same as Jesus. I cool with that. Even the
It's not the same though. Yeshua is not Jesus. No.
You're gonna say that Jesus again?
Well, that's the remember the devil is subtle. Right? Jesus is indeed Hail Zeus. Right? We have to keep the name hallowed. Right? You have to keep the language in context so that we are not being tricked into giving our energies over to adverse forces. But continue. I know you wanted to go somewhere. So
see, you get me scared. You get me concerned, right? Because I appreciate the terms of giving our energies or not giving our energies to adverse places. And I appreciate the fact that the devil suddenly also.
Yeah.
Right? But I want to also understand heaven, and I want to understand hell, right? Mm-hmm. I want to understand the rapture. I want to understand an African concept, right? I don't want to be... See, I believe there's a great conspiracy of someone trying to trick the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this new age religion happening, proliferating right now, inside the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering whether that's the devil working,
mm-hmm.
or whether there's a devil working before and they already twisted it.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is now an enlightenment happening now that correcting itself. Now, that's where I'm at.
Right. So we are in a age of information where you can go on YouTube, you can go on Google, you can buy books, and there's a lot of people saying a lot of different things,
yes.
Right? And so that can get confusing.
Yeah, Carson all over the place.
Yeah, Carson all over the place. And there are others, right? What the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah is saying is that we cannot, this revolution, and I want to be clear about the word revolution. I ain't talking about breaking up the place. I'm talking about coming back to a reality of who we are. When you use the word convert, in the Hebrew is the word shub. And this word shub means to go back, right? To go back and fetch. Sankofa is another word for it, right? That to convert means to go back to your origins so that you have an appreciation for what things originally were. And then that gives you the perspective and the confidence and the knowledge to know how to move forward. We are the generation in Psalms, in that song, beautiful song they play at the beginning of the show and off the break, in the book of Psalms 24, verse 6, it says, "This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob." Right? This seeking of the face is not spooky, right? How do we seek the face of the Messiah? we must first know what this Messiah look like. We see that in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verses 12 through 15 where it tells you that this skin is like skin of burnt brass, right? It tells you that this Messiah has woolly hair. It tells you red eyes, etc., right? So if we are seeking from that perspective, we're looking for an African, right? If we want to go further into seeking the face, we must go to the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, where the Messiah is referred to as the Amen. This Amen is none other than Tutankhamun or Amen. This was an African Messiah. This was the Messiahs were those who were anointed.
See, I'm also seeing that a number of New Age religions are trying to match up their gods with my God, right? They're saying, and this for me, because I don't know names, right? This particular name is matched up to Jehovah. Mm. This particular name is matched up to Jesus. This particular name is matched up to John, and go back to Methuselah, and they keep on matching up these concepts. Right, right? I'm not familiar with.
But to the point, that's the point I was making. You have to have a guide who actually has taken the time to study these things and be able to show, not just tell you, but show you why Yahshua and Jesus is not the same, right? We have a Basesh, all right? Dr. A.J. Varma, who every Wednesday at 6 p.m. we're online, every Sunday at 2 p.m. we're online in the various locations around the Caribbean and in the United States and in Europe. We're meeting on Sundays and Wednesdays, but we're being guided by a Basesh and a council that has taken the time. I went to seminary. I didn't just go on YouTube, right? The things that I'm saying in an hour, right, took years to actually study and distill and break down to be able to come on and speak as fluidly as we do when we come on the radio, right? But we have a guide. So when you talk about the New Age doctrines and the confusion, yes, it will be confusing if we're not understanding that language is key. And if we're not understanding that we have to look at these various New Age religions and the various things that are being said online from an African perspective so that you actually have a reference point. Because if not, then you have your favorite person online that you listen to, and I have my favorite person online that I listen to, and we never come together to actually work to get out of this hell and to actually build heaven on earth. And that's what we've done previously in the lands of Nubia, in the Niger Delta of West Africa, in East Africa, in the Nile River Valley. We've built great kingdoms and great civilizations, as they refer to it, by being able to understand that there is a hierarchy. This is why we talk about a Most High. If there's a Most High, then there's someone who is the highest in the ranks. But what are those ranks? You understand? What are those principalities? What are those angels? The word angel or the word messenger or these principalities, these were actual seats. These were not spooky people. You say you want your wings. The wings that we're referencing are actual wings that we attach to ourselves based on the order that we were in. We have an Asarian Wasetian society. Right, I can show you statues with a woman with her arms stretched out with wings, right? Aset, she was of the order of Maat, right? Maat, the actual feather is the wings that they're holding. But if I show you the statue, they have them. Her arms is going through. The wings are being attached, just like John Canoe. We didn't grow no wings. Our angels didn't walk around with no... The ones with the actual wings, they the Draegods. They the reptilians. You don't want to see them. You understand? They the ones as mentioned in Genesis, right? When they say, and God said, and God did this. So the book of Genesis chapter 1, God is not speaking. Something else is speaking. Something else that could obviously live in water, a reptile, is speaking. You understand? But these... whales, we talked about the whales and the fact that these were not actual whales, but these were actual dinosaurs. These were actual reptilians. Some of them had wings. You understand? We talk about the scarab beetle. And the scarab beetle, when it rises or reaches its fullest potential, it gains its wings. When a pilot reaches their highest rank or position, they receive their wings. But they ain't growing no wings. So we had orders and we had seats within these orders where Michael was a seat, or Mikhail was a seat, Gabriel was a seat, Raphael was a seat. These were well-made men and women who had gone through the various degrees of learning and understanding whereby they could then effectively guide a people. But the question is, do we want that guidance from somebody who looks like us? Unfortunately, many of us, when we see somebody who looks like us, we often turn a blind eye or find something wrong with that person and try to look to somebody who doesn't look like us to guide us. And that's why we remain in hell.
Before you go, if you have a couple minutes, like 2-3 minutes.
Yeah.
There seems to be a proliferation of magic inside the Bahamas. Mm. A number of people are having these crystals. Women, a number of women, crystals and stones and beads around their arms and ankles, whatever it is, and feathers. And I want to know, is there such a thing as magic? And can these, using these beads and these chants and these magic oils?
Right. So, first of all, the crystals, you find that on the breastplates of the high priests, each of the tribes have an actual stone that's related to them. All right? So the crystals in and of themselves are not bad, but if we don't know how to properly utilize them, or if we're not utilizing them in the context that they were given to us as a people, then they can have adverse reactions. Because you have what's called lower magic or unnatural magic, and then you have a higher or natural magic, all right? The reality is when we get back into our true religious identity, what they're referring to as miracles was our form of alchemy, which they then referred to as magic. Today, they refer to it as chemistry. But the word chem is this word black.
Okay. Next week, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about magic.
Yes.
And going back to our ancient African concepts.
Beautiful.
Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day. That was Uncle Sarat.
Namaste.
Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III, who is the Coptic, how would you call it?
Kahun.
At the Holy Coptic Church in the Black Messiah. Have a wonderful day.